Welcome to the Realizing Genius podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Christensen. This is where we dive in each week to chat about parenting, education, and realizing our children's genius. I'm an educator with a background in individualizing learning, and I'm obsessed with helping people find and nurture that genius in their children and themselves. Let's dive in. Hi, this is Heidi Christensen with Realizing Genius Podcast. I'm here today with Mr. James from Include Education. Oh, Mr. James, thank you so much for being here today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm the founder of Include Education and been educating and offering STEM enrichment programs and more to a local community in Southern California for the last few years. And seems like later in life than some others, but I think I found my calling and I absolutely love what I'm doing. So that's me right there. So,
well, I love that you are sharing STEM. And I had to remind myself, what did STEM stand for? And it's basically all the stuff that I was scared to teach. So it was science, technology, engineering, math. I mean, I have five boys that I homeschooled I'm still homeschooling, and it's been over 20 years. And I know, I mean, I sent my kid to you to teach them things. Why do you feel that so many people are afraid of STEM?
Well, a lot is because, well, for us as adults, it may not have been stuff that today's technology, especially, we didn't have that when we were in school. So in some cases, we feel like we're trying our best to keep up as well, and the kids are outpacing us. A lot of times we're handing over a phone, show me how to do this. Yeah, handing it to our kid, they're showing, it's just like this, Dad, you know? And so I think some of that is what causes it to be rather intimidating, but also knowing what type of equipment you need to do it as well. Just using robotics as an example. Well, I mean, if you don't have robots at home, how are you doing robotics? It presents challenges to teaching some of it if you don't have the knowledge. But then again, as well, along with having the knowledge is, you know, do you know how to present it so that your kids are still engaging with it and not like, oh, this is kind of boring, you know, because if you're not sure how to communicate that, then that can be a challenge too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was always concerned that I wanted them to learn this, but whenever I tried to do it, it's like I was like neck deep in these kits and trying to decipher these instructions that I had no clue how to do it. So, yeah. I mean, one of the things that I'm all about is realizing genius. And I know I wanted to expose my kids to STEM to see if possibly that's where their genius lay. And so how do you define genius? How do you nurture genius in kids? And that was two questions in one, but
to me, genius is finding that area or areas in which you are not only inclined to understand, but also that you can feel passionate about. You're excited about it. And if you can find those areas and you can cultivate those, especially in kids early on, if they realize, oh, this is cool, I like this, and you get to the point where they're actively seeking out information about it, well, you've now discovered that at least that element of genius in them, and that's something that they can explore, which I think makes it for a happier life. And I think the earlier we can identify that, the better, because now they can explore it further and it opens more doors for them instead of playing, you know, catch up later. As adults, many of us were like, we didn't figure out what our genius was until we're in our 40s, you know, maybe. And it's like, well, you know, if we had exposure to it earlier, wow, we may have discovered that. What could we have done in that time?
Yeah.
So instead of it feeling like lost time, we're giving them that opportunity, right? From the start, which by the time they're in their 40s, they've already feel like they've accomplished so much and having fun doing it too, not just doing something that they, well, you know, it's a job type of thing, but able to do something and maybe, you know, eventually have a career in it where it's monetized now and they're having fun and they're passionate about it. I think that's where you really find genius is as if they're passionate about it, that's what, now you found it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I know. Today's world, all of our kids need exposure to tech. They need exposure to, you know, the engineering and the math that goes on behind it. How do you share these ideas with kids who just aren't clicking with it?
A lot of it is what I found. When I first started the company, I didn't have a big background in education. I knew I wanted to now get into education just based on the experiences from my now adult, children. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was like, this could be done better. There's got a better way to do this. And so I wanted to go and make a difference. But my background before that was in sales. Oh. In there, and I had a pretty decent sales career. So I learned how to communicate and how to grab an audience and hold their attention. So when I started teaching, I realized very quickly that that was an asset. Those skills were, it was so transferable to a classroom because now I knew how to get them paying attention and stuff. Because you can have all the information in the world, but if you can't communicate that to them in a way that they're absorbing it and engaged with it, then what does it matter? It's just in one ear, out the other, going over their head, and they don't care. So you have to get them to care about it. That's what got me into teaching in the first place, was because I look back on my own childhood and in school. And by the time I was in high school, I had checked out. I just didn't care. I was good at it. I just didn't want to be there. And I look back and I'm like, that should have been different. I think that's the main thing, is just getting them excited about something. And sometimes it's finding the right instructor, and that's not to say that I'm the right instructor for everybody, but finding that one, those people that they can connect with and where they're excited to be there for the instructor, then they're going to automatically, they're going to engage more with the material that's being presented, and they see how fun it is, then they want to learn. And that's one of the things I would say is learning is fun. Like, let's prove it to them. And then they'll start actively seeking out information in that subject.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you are talking about making learning fun, because everything out there says that if you have an engaging, fun activity, that's when the learning happens, is when it sticks. But so many classrooms today, it's still that rote learning that has been proven not to work, but it's just, that's the way it is. And so they keep doing it that way.
They do. I do think a lot of it is, I mean, to be fair to the teachers as well, they get stuck in a trap because they're taught to do that. I had a dual major in elementary education, a special education. When I was going there, I was like, no. I'm like, the way they were teaching, like, I mean, of course, going in there, 40 years old when I'm going to school, I have a different perspective already having children that were adults at that point. And like, so I looked at it differently than maybe someone who's 18 going into that program. And they kind of teach them that's what they're supposed to do. And they don't, get it. No, you can't do it that way. You have to have a personality, make it fun. Kids learn all the time when they're playing. Well, okay. So play with them, make it a game, make it a challenge. You can take this a simple concept. Now make it, teach them something small. Now we're going to do a challenge based on that. Oh, challenge. Now they're like, oh, let's do this. And just little things to make it more exciting, and they're having fun with it. As human beings, we're naturally inquisitive. We're born that way. So school should be, let's play on that. Like, why would we suck the fun out of learning and make it so they don't want to learn? Like, it seems counterintuitive to do it that way. But I think we've just kind of, over time, fallen into that trap as they've tried to figure out ways of managing, large groups of students and then needing, bringing teachers in, and it's all cookie cutter and stuff, instead of letting passionate teachers go in there and just kind of do it. Like, do it your way. And if it's working, it's working. I see how they fall in that trap. And once they're in it, it's so hard to get back out of it.
Yeah. I have the highest regard for public school teachers. I have so many public school teachers in my family. They are amazing. And it really is the system that is broken, and the fact that they are working to do whatever they can within that system. I just give them so much credit for that. For you and for me, I also got my credential later in life. It was actually after like 18 years of homeschooling, I went and got my credential. And it was kind of mind-blowing to me that it's like, okay, they're trying to do what I've been doing in homeschooling for years, but yet they're like cutting you off at the knees, to try and do it, just to, like, having that fun and doing that, because you have to stick into that. So now you teach several different audiences.
Yeah.
You teach homeschooling kids, and then you also have after school kids, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
So we have a few different audiences because we do homeschooling programs, and everything we do is mobile. So we go to where we're needed. You go to homeschool learning centers, you know, maybe some families got together and they all learn in one place. Sometimes it's in a backyard. If we can come and do a program there, let's do it. You know, as long as we have a space to do it at and students who are coming, you know, we'll put it together and make it happen. So we have the homeschool audience, but we also do after school programs. We do summer camps, which bring in everybody there. We even have some programs at private schools. So we kind of have a few different areas in which we're doing different education styles, communities, and structures.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's, is that where the include and the include education comes in?
Yeah. You know, when I was looking at the name, and we had kind of switched our name over it at some point, and I was like, I wanted it to be more inclusive, you know, because we added programs in that some people really didn't realize was actually STEM, you know, working and cooking. That's science, both of those, and engineering in, together. But that's not commonly how you think of them. So we wanted to include more programs, and we partner with other providers as well who we know are good and are reputable and offer that same level of fun and engaging experiences. So we partner with them to bring their program. If we need drama, let's bring this company in that we know they're good, so we can have a drama program or gardening and stuff. So we'll partner with them, but also getting these programs out to a bigger audience, and especially for communities or families and children who may not always have those opportunities to experience robotics. It's funny, within those communities, you know, you get those common misperceptions, you know, and yeah, homeschooling suffers from a lot of those, as we know. But when you're thinking about, you know, who, you know, which students have probably done a robotics program in the past? Well, it's actually more than likely it was the homeschoolers who've done it somewhere. And so they're coming to me and they're telling me about theirs. I'm like, oh, that's great. Well, we're going to do some stuff that's a little bit different, but this is going to be fun. Where we occasionally will get that with, you know, traditional public school or private school, but it's most common within the homeschool community. So we wanted to go and get into those public schools, especially in some of the communities where the funding hasn't gone to them as it should have necessarily, or is just not budgeted properly. So it's just not set up for doing programs for the kids in those communities. And so if we can go in, and we've had some schools where we came in and we were their STEM program, you know, rather than supplementing, we were the entirety of their STEM program, because that's, it just didn't have that in the house. So we can go in and help them out. We've had some cities that have had us come in where the city itself has done like a summer camp, for instance, and it was for low income families within the city, where it was free, tuition was free, and the city was hosting it, and they had us come in and do programs with them. The more we can get them out there, and we do free stuff at times too. So we'll do free robotics events or science events just to get that exposure out there for those kids that they get to do something too. So that's what it was kind of about, is that just making it more inclusive, everyone in those different areas, but also for children who may not be your typical cookie cutter, you know, student. Maybe they have some learning challenges, you know, ADHD or on the spectrum, for instance, and maybe they don't feel as welcomed into some classrooms. We are able to do that. Just the way we do the class, the way we do our classes, it's more inclusive of all sorts of groups. So it's been really, really cool.
That's awesome. And I love that you're going into these different areas and helping these kids and exposing these kids to these ideas that they might just spark their genius. And it's like, ah, that's what I want to do. And just kind of breathe that life into them and get them going. So that is awesome.
If you don't mind, I was going to share, I was just reminded of it. One of the ones that I was most excited about doing, we had it was in the city of Murrieta. There was a local tribe that was there, and they have their offices were there, and they had some facilities where you had classroom space. And they had reached out to us because they wanted to offer our programs to the children within the tribe who may not have these opportunities, or they may not, as they were explaining to me, they said a lot of the, you know, some of the younger kids, depending on where they live, some of the families just, it was almost like they're not going to, so they don't try. and stuff. So the tribe was trying to, as an organization, come together as a community to provide those programs for the children within that tribe. So they were busing them in and stuff to come in and do programs, video games, robotics. We did, you know, engineering experiments. Mm-hmm. And for some of them to see their growth from when we would start, even if it was just a week, from Monday through Friday, to see the difference in the way they were viewing what they could do within those areas was amazing. And it was one of those things that was like, that was really cool to be able to do an experience with them. And they shared some of their culture with us. And it was such a fun experience for everyone involved. It was really great just to see from there, from what the tribe was describing, where these kids would not experience this otherwise if they weren't bringing it to them, that we were able to come in, be a part of that was just amazing.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love that. I love that. And one of the things you mentioned in there was video games. And I know as a mom of five boys and as a teacher for years, I had so many students, especially young boys, who it's like, you know, you'd ask them, what are you going to be when you grow up? And it's like, video game something, you know, designer, tester, whatever.
Yes.
As a teacher, as a mom, I was like, right, now what? How do I help them? So
right.
Besides sending them to you, do you have any ideas that our listeners can kind of run with and get some ideas on where to go if that's their kid?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say there's lots of options out there for building video games. We do our in-person classes where we take them from start to finish, building a video game. And I always say, what's more fun than playing a video game? Making one of your own. Yeah. That's even more fun than playing one, showing them the creative process in that. But there's lots of programs that you can do in there and get them exposure to that. One of the things that I like to do in all of our video game design classes is to speak about the different careers within that industry. Because there's a lot of things that, you know, the kids don't even think about. They think, like you said, testers or maybe programmers. But there's artists that are working video games. There's writers. They have to have a storyline. Writers, character development. Those are types of things that are there. They even need attorneys. So a child who wants to be involved with video games, okay, well, you could be involved with the legal side of it as well. And you're still within that industry. And maybe that's what makes being a lawyer even more fun, because you're working in that realm. So we show them there's so many different things that they wouldn't have normally thought of, at least at first, as being related to the video game design industry, but are actually could be if that's what they were interested in. They may not be, you know, coding may be something that they're not the best at. Okay, well, can you draw? Can you do digital art? And there's a lot of things they can do there too. There's actually a free program that we've used a few times in some of our classes just to kind of show that's really cool. It's a website, it's called pixelart.com, and they spell it's pixil.com. It's completely free, and they can start creating digital art. And it's very similar to how we do it within our program that we use for creating the video game characters and stuff. But now they can do it. They can create animations and stuff. And it's a great way for them to start exploring their artistic side as far as creating, like, you know, digital pixelated figures or backgrounds and stuff. And then understanding how animation works as they set up the, you know, the various frames and so on. So it's a kind of a, like a free thing they can do. And just to explore that a little bit as well. But there's tons of resources and so on. I always do caution because I know a lot of them, they're like, oh, we're going to be video game testers. And one of the things I do tell them, that's great. It kind of gets your foot in the door, you know, or while you're going to school, as great, maybe it's a part-time job. But I do try to reinforce them that may not be a long career. So I try to point out there are some downsides to it too. Video game testing in particular. I always tell them, you're not playing the video game for fun. You're trying to find the things that are wrong with it that normally frustrate players. I said, and that's what you're supposed to do. And you maybe you're doing that one thing over and over and over again to try to see if it was fixed or try to find the flaw. I said, it is a job. It's not just you're playing video games all day. You know, yeah. I always tell them, keep that in mind, but it certainly could be something that they do while they're going to college or to a trade school to learn those skills to work with in another position within the video game industry.
That's awesome. Now, I know you were telling me that you have a virtual video game course, correct?
I'm currently working on that one. So if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right so that, you know, we're going to have a workbook. So there's a workbook that will go along with it that's optional. But of course, we're going to be referencing it throughout the course. And, you know, of course, encourage, use the workbook, especially for those homeschoolers that need that. You want your work samples and it shows, you put that little bit extra in there. And so we're working on the workbook right now. And then once we have that, we've got the course all outlined and so on. And then after that, it's just me in front of a camera. I'm going to record it all. And it's going to take kids all the way from the very beginning where there's nothing there, all the way to the end where they have a completed video game that they can share with friends and family and potentially could even sell it. The software we use, there are people who make video games for the purpose of selling them using that software. So we can get them to that point where they can start doing it. And once they get in there and they do it, all of a sudden, they start figuring it out on their own, a lot of the stuff. So to see the growth, once you get a few weeks in, they're like, oh, how do I do this? They start playing around and they figure it out. I've had some students that have shown me things. They're like, oh, look what I did. I'm like, how did you do that? And they'll show me. And I'm like, oh, that was really good. Or I knew there was a way to do it, but the way they did it, it wasn't something I had taught in class yet, and they figured it out, and they did it a completely different way. And I'm like, oh, that was actually easier. But I would integrate it into my lesson at that point, because they start figuring out, their minds are like sponges, and they learn so much faster than we do as adults. And they, once they figure it out and they're excited about it, man, the things they can do, it's amazing.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, definitely when it is done and ready to be sold, let me know and I will share it with everybody. Okay.
Awesome. I will. Absolutely.
Oh, that's exciting. Do you have anything with YouTube?
I do have a YouTube channel. It's Mr. James Does It All. You got to type in the whole thing. I'll put things on there. Some of it's just talking about some programs that we have coming up. I'll put on there, but I've put some other stuff on there, some little tiny lessons. My daughters had done some videos at one point. I have five children. I have three adult boys and two younger daughters. They're 7 and 9 now. And they had done just some, it's very raw, guys. So there's no expected professional production on it. But they were leading through like how to do like foaming potions experiment and stuff. And so it was kind of just a cool thing for them to do. But it's a lesson. You get the supplies and you can follow along. And they'll teach you how to do a little science experiment. So there was a few of those things. And I will be adding on to that as well. So I'm going to have a few things that are going to be starting to come up that will be in addition to that. And just getting some more content out there for those. Want to get an idea for some of the stuff that we offer, that's a place to see a whole bunch of stuff on there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And other social media, it's just Mr. James Does It All.
For most of the other, if you're, you know, you find me on Facebook, it's Mr. James, first name, Does It All, last name. or for the company, you can do Include Education. Get there. So you can see all one word, ED in the middle. Include Education on Facebook and on Instagram. So we post some stuff on there, showing pictures of some of the stuff that we're doing, upcoming programs and such. So you can definitely find us there as well.
That is awesome. Well, Mr. James, thank you so much for sharing your genius with us. I really appreciate it. And like I said, STEM, I know, is such an important thing for our kids to be exposed to, especially when they're young, so that if that is something that just lights that fire in them, they have the time to run with it and to live that and explore it. So I'm so grateful you've been here today.
Yeah. And at that point, get out of their way. Once they're getting excited about it, they're going to be like, I want more, more, more. So just let them do it. And some of the stuff they do is just, it amazes me. And I'm like, you know, they started with me. And I'm like, wow, you did that? Like, that is so cool. And to see where they go is just amazing.
Yeah. No, I love it when that happens. But thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.